Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
One message, and this message is called, piggybacks on our Wednesday night series. This message is called Stay Tuned. Turn to your neighbor and tell them stay tuned. Tell them don't leave early. Tell them God's got something for you. Don't stop. Don't quit. Don't surrender. Don't backslide. And that's a big, y'all got louder when y'all said that. There was a little bit of a judging spirit, especially from those wives to the husbands. I could feel that one. Luke 18, verse 22, one verse. Now when Jesus heard these things, and we'll get to these things in a moment. When Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. He said, there's one thing you need to do. Sell all you have, distribute it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, follow me. I'm preaching on Stay Tuned. You may be seated. How many of you are not afraid to say it and not afraid to admit it, but you binge watch? You're a binge watcher. Netflix, Hulu, there's like eight hands. What else? What are y'all doing during quarantine? I'm a binge watcher, man. Andy got Netflix, so she pays the Netflix bill, and I just take advantage of her Netflix. And when I was introduced to Netflix, it changed my life because I don't like waiting for, especially when you get in a good series, week to week to week, and those cliffhangers every week. I like being able to watch an entire season in a few days. And when you binge watch, I've got a few shows that I'm binge watching all the time. One that I watch by myself, one that me and Tyler watch together, something that Mandy and I watch. And so I've always got a lot of that going on. But I've been suggested when people find out that you like a certain show or that you have Netflix, everyone's always got their suggestion on what you should watch. And this is an amazing show. But I always love when they tell you and they preface a good show with this phrase. Now, you're going to have to get through the first season. Or you're going to have to get to the third season, it's really good. You're going to have to get through that first and that second season. It starts a little slow, and they spend time a lot of times in those shows. They spend a lot of time on character development and giving each character context on why they're here. And they spend character development, and they give you context so that you care about a show. Back in 2004, it's hard to believe it's been 16 years, there was a show called Lost. Anybody watch Lost? I've watched Lost the entire series twice, and I'm still lost. I have no clue what happened. Was that heaven, hell, or did they think they're in purgatory? Did somebody just shake a snow globe and they were, I don't know what happened. But what I do know is that the first one or two seasons, they were painstakingly slow developing each character, giving them their backstory, having all of these flashbacks, but they did it so that you were invested in their show and you felt like you knew. A good show will make you feel like you know that character. That's why on Grey's Anatomy, when someone dies, and I've never watched more than 4 minutes of Grey's Anatomy, but it's a doctor's show, and I'm assuming people are dying all the time. People die on Grey's Anatomy? Do they kill off main characters? Don't spoil alert me. I might binge watch it next. Don't tell me. McSteamy, McDreamy, whoever they are. I like McNuggets more than I like either one of them. But your hand going up, praise God. But they develop those characters, and you will cry when someone that is acting does a good job because they've told a story that you were invested in, and you kept watching. Even when they were killed, you kept watching to see what the next season was going to show. And I said all that to say this, that a lot of our life is spent in developing characters. And not just developing characters, but developing character in believers. Character is not built in times of peace. Character is not built when everything is perfect. Character and your integrity is built in times when everything is going wrong and you still choose to live right. When everything is not like the promise said it was going to be, and you're stuck in the middle of the mess, in the waiting season of your life, and you are developing character, which means now I am investing myself in the process. And those two words that you're going to hear a lot of the next 15 minutes is stay tuned. God's not done with me yet. Stay tuned. God's not written the final part of my story yet, and there is still living left to do. And so stay tuned. Defined, it means continue watching, continue listening. It's a phrase that is used today to show and to say you should look and listen for more information about a particular subject at a later time. We hear and we watch shows now that they end with a cliffhanger or what we call a teaser. It is something that is given to make you want to continue watching or listening. Tyler and I are currently binge watching a show that 3 weeks ago, it gave us a teaser. And we were so intrigued by the teaser. I said, man, Tyler, I can't wait till the next episode. And that day when we got, and in my home office, we got two recliners. We call them dueling recliners. They're side by side, and Tyler and I binge watch our shows there. And so we got in those recliners, and we're ready for this next episode, and the teaser's about to manifest, and we're going to get to see where they're going, only for them not to even mention the last teaser. I didn't give up on the show. I said, Tyler, the next show is going to blow our mind. The next show comes on. They don't mention the teaser. Third week, we're going to watch it again this week. I'm not giving up because there's been a teaser about what is happening. Can I just encourage you that Living Way Church is not the be-all, end-all. Living Way, your church service today, this is a teaser of your life and how your life should be. This should not be the source of your worship, source of your praise, source of good word or great preaching. This should tease and whet your appetite enough to say, you know what? An hour and a half on Sunday is not enough. Hour and 15 minutes on Wednesday night is not enough. I want more. Man, that worship was good, but it seemed like Pastor Branham cut them off too early. And so you go home and you put your iPod on and you get to playing through the Bluetooth sound speaker and you start worshiping at home and you have a bigger worship expression and experience at home than we had here this morning. You should, when Bishop tells you to stand on a Wednesday night, say, is it 8:15 already? I was just getting into this word and now you've got your Devo time on Thursday and Friday because you're going to jump right back into the word. We are here to tease you and say, hey, listen, it's bigger than Sunday. It's bigger than Wednesday. We want you to have a relationship with Jesus outside the four walls of the church. Three words if you're taking notes. Don't leave early. Don't leave early. See, I've got the bird's eye view. I see people, and it's the same people every week, that the moment we go into altar call mode, they jet. I'm like, this is what we've been working for the last hour and a half, is to open the altar so somebody can open their heart to God, so that somebody can open their life to God. This is why I sweat. This is why I spit. This is why I holler. This is why we worship, was to get God in the room, in the same room as you and him, so that you could have a rendezvous, so that you could trade something with God, so that God could come and wreck your life for the better. It's what we do. Don't leave early. If you're leaving early from the front row, it's because they're going out there to serve. They're running things out there. They're not. When Sister Tammy gets up and runs out, she ain't convicted. She's going to serve. We're serving. Don't leave early. When I look at life, there's too many people that leave early. People leave early and stop short right before their breakthrough or their miracle. And I got two words for you. Stay tuned. Don't leave early. Don't duck out on God too early. Let me tell you this, the fight gets turned up. The heat gets turned up right before your breakthrough. When do you want to quit? When the heat gets turned up, meaning this, that most of the time we want to quit the day before we're about to bust through. We want to stop the day before seasons are about to change. But I want to encourage your faith today and tell you stay tuned. Spoiler alert, God's got a plan for you. Let me give you a teaser. God's in your Monday and he's already working. God's in your November and he's already working. Jesus stands in your 2021. And he's already working. Too many quit right before daybreak. Stay tuned. Too many people get tired of the fight. Stay tuned. Some think the sacrifice is too great. Stay tuned. How many of you like to go to sporting events? Football games, basketball games. I love it. Not so much baseball, except they do have good hot dogs. But the sporting event crowd, I've been to games. I've been to a lot of Spurs games. And when I go to these Spurs games, I'm appalled at the fair weather fans. that if they're down by 10 with 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter, they're grabbing their stuff and they're leaving. But have you ever noticed not many people in the front row are leaving? It's everybody in the cheap seats. They're the ones that are leaving. I grew up in a home. Bishop, we could be in triple overtime, game 7 of the NBA Finals, and he's looking at me with 3 minutes left saying, hey, you want to go? We'll beat the traffic. You've invested 82 games in this season. We've been through the playoffs. We've been through wars, and you're wanting to leave? I remember one time he looked at me. I think it was double overtime, and he said, hey, let's beat the traffic. I said, I want to stay and see how that we've invested 55 minutes of game time, 2.5 hours of our life. This is a great game, one of the greatest Spurs game ever, and you want to leave? He said, listen, I'm leaving. You can either ride with me or call yourself an Uber. Your boy's cheap. I called an Uber. I'm sorry, your boy's cheap. I went home. I didn't call an Uber, and I listened to it on the radio. I've been with them other times where we got in the parking lot, Spurs turned it around, and we tried to get back in the building. They wouldn't let us back in. Why are the cheap seats the ones that leave? Why do they leave? Number one, they leave because they have no investment. People in the cheap seats leave first. The people that have the least invested leave first. Let me say it like this. Somebody in here has been wondering why they left you. They left you because they had made the least investment in you. And because they've never invested in you, it was easy for them to walk away. But for those of us that have made investments in people, we're not so quick to walk away. Why? Because I've invested something in you and I care about you at a level that I'm going to make sure that you get through this and we get to the other side of this and whatever invested in you is going to come to fruition in you. No investment, they leave first. Second thing, no relationship. They don't have a relationship with you. You know, there are basketball players on the Spurs that their wives come to the games, their girlfriends come to the games. Some of them come both. They have both, and they sit on opposite ends of the court. Their children come to the games. Their best friends come to the games. Their mom and dad come to the games. And you know what? No mama has ever walked out on her son, even if he's losing by 40. Why? She's invested, and she has relationship. Can I encourage you? Jesus will never walk out on you. You're his son. You're his daughter. He is invested in you. He will never. It can look like you are getting blown out. He is not walking away from you. Let me tell you something. The darkest day when you were strung out on drugs, Jesus was still there saying, hey, you're mine. I want you in my life, and I want to be a part of your life. When you were confused and you didn't know what to do, God was still there, and he was still saying, I made an investment, and I'm going to see you through. I'm going to make sure that what I put in you grows and comes out of you. Proving this in Scripture, John 6, verse 64 says, Jesus was saying, but there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning that there were those that believed not and that would betray him. He said, therefore I said unto you, no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that day many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. The problem is there was people that were calling themselves disciples of Jesus that walked with him but did not follow him. There's a lot of people that are walking with Jesus, but they don't really believe in Jesus. There's a lot of people that come to church, but they don't really believe, because if you really believed, you'd start serving. If you really believed, you'd start giving. If you really believed, you'd take what you hear on Sunday and Wednesday, and you take it to your job on Monday, Tuesday. If we really believed, we would do more. And so Jesus was preaching something so offensive that the people that called themselves disciples left him. And Jesus turns to the other disciples, and says, hey, will you leave me too? Guess who speaks up? Peter. Peter says this, where would I go? I love Peter because Peter tells it like it is. Peter says this. Peter says, I made too much of an investment in you, Jesus. He said, my family's invested in you. My life, he said, I left the boat. I left my fishing business. I left the life I knew. People think I'm crazy. I've invested the last 3 years of my life following you. I've invested, he said, you hold the words to eternal life. See, that's where I am, church. I'm 38 years old. I got for real and got for real saved when I was 17 years old in 1999. And I'm here to tell you that since 1999, I've gotten married. Since 1999, I've had two kids. Since 1999, I became a pastor and I have a ministry. All of that is invested in God. Even if I wanted to quit, I can't quit now. He is invested in me. I am invested in him. And times when I want to throw in the towel, I got to remember, where would I go? Who's going to take me? I'm too valuable to go back to the world. God's done too much for me to backslide now. My marriage is on the line. My children are on the line. My generation is on the line. Where would I go? I love Peter's statement here because Peter's statement here proves one thing. He had thought about leaving, and he had looked at his options. He said, I could go home, but Jesus healed my mother-in-law. I don't want to go back there. That's a joke, maybe. He said, I could go back to my fishing business, but let's be honest, that was failing before I met Jesus. I could go back to my old way of life, but I've walked with Jesus too long. I know this is going to resonate with somebody. I'm too saved to go back to the world. I got too much Holy Ghost that I wouldn't be comfortable in the club. I got too much Holy Ghost. I couldn't sleep around anymore because I would know that Jesus is standing at the foot of the bed saying, hey, what are you doing, man? You're supposed to be preaching the gospel. You're supposed to be spreading. You're supposed to be helping people. What are you doing? I can't steal no more. I've got too much invested. See, some of us, we got too much Jesus that we're no use. We're no good for the world. But some of us have got just enough world that we ain't no good to the church. Because every time we come here, we got to get ours. And if you always come to church saying we got to get ours, then you're never in a position to help people get theirs. See, I say this again. Living Way is a teaser for me. I worshiped today for 25 minutes in each service. That was not the best worship I've done all week. That was not the only time God has heard me this week. This is not the only time I've opened the book this week. This is not the only time I've prayed this week. This is not the only time I've spent together with brothers and sisters this week. I've got so much, oh, come on now. I got so much Jesus in me that when I come in here, I don't have to be all about me. I can be all about we and make sure that everybody's getting theirs. I'll never forget it, and I know time is dwindling down. I'll never forget When Bishop said, Brandon, you're making the announcements this morning. Now, that wasn't something I necessarily wanted to do. And so, I remember I only had one suit, put on that suit, and I came back then, no screens, no nothing, 15, 16, and I just read the announcements. And I literally, Wednesday night, we have midweek service at 7 o'clock. Thursday night, we have Friday night, it's prayer. And then I just went down and sat down. So from there to here in 22 years. But check this out. I remember when I started helping lead the service, and I'd get up here and transition for my dad, and he was getting ready to preach, and so Pastor Becky would sing, and I would handle the transitions and receive the offering and all that. I remember I was worshiping one time, and I don't know if you, me and Pastor Becky, we can see what each other's thinking without, like right now she's thinking, where are you going with this story? That's what she's thinking. But she just looks at me, and I know, even at 38, she can look at me and just pierce my heart, and I can tell she's disappointed, she's excited, she's proud. But during service, she would nod at me when she was done. See, now I just come up when I want to. But back then, she'd be like, I'm done, you can do your thing now. We're done worshiping, you can come up now. And so I remember I was worshiping, and she was looking at me, and she was like, you need to come up. We're done. Come up. I'm worshiping, head down, eyes closed. And finally, somebody tapped me on the shoulder and pointed at my mom, saying, hey, she's trying to get your attention. And so I came up, did my thing. After service, she said, hey, you need to pay attention in church. I said, Mom, I'm worshiping. She says, you're not here to worship. You're here to help and to serve and to help us run this service. You worship on your own time. At first, I was like, that ain't right. That's why we come, is to worship. But the older I've got, I realize that Brother Vail sitting behind this camera, he's operating a camera. Now, he's good at praising God and running a camera. And we've gotten good at ushering and worshiping. But at the end of the day, I've been worshiping all week long. If I've come to serve here today, I'm going to serve. If it means me running a camera and I can't run all over the building and come to the altar, that's fine. Why? Because I get mine on my own time. I am here to serve others, and so I've got to get enough Jesus in me that keeps me in his house, and I get rid of the world, and I come in with more Jesus than flesh, and I can serve like God wants me to serve. Somebody say amen. Somebody say stay tuned. Let's go. Luke 18, it introduces us, and I'm going to have to go through this real quick. Luke 18 introduces us to a character that we have come to know as the rich young ruler. You spend any time in Sunday school growing up in church, you've heard about the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler has two characteristics that make it difficult, not impossible, difficult to receive Christ or eternal life. Those two things are young and he's rich. You're talking to somebody that's been doing youth ministry now for 16 plus years. It is hard to reach young people. Young people think they're invincible, and young people think they have enough time to get it right when. But I've buried enough people under 20 to know that you don't have sometimes the time you think you have. Then I've dealt with rich people that have never been through life not having something that they could not buy if they wanted it. You cannot buy salvation. And so when you're young and when you're rich, that's why the Hollywood elite under 25, you don't see them coming to Jesus in by the droves. What you do see is a lot of Hollywood elites, when they turn 60 years old, 65, 70, they start having these epiphany that life is about to end here on earth and there is a hereafter, and they start searching. But when you are young and when you are rich, it's not that God is not talking to them like he's talking to us, but they're listening way too much to their youth and the riches of life to hear what God is saying. In all of his getting and acquisition, he still realizes that something in his life is missing. So he approaches Jesus and begins this dialogue. And a certain ruler in verse 18 asks Jesus, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" The greatest question we will ever ask, church, is what do I have to do for eternal life? What must I do to be saved? The greatest question you will ever ask is, what do I have to do to have eternal life with Jesus Christ? Everything that we preach and teach here comes secondary to your eternity with Jesus Christ. And the world would like to tell you there is many roads, but I am here to unequivocally tell you there is one way to get to heaven. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the door. I am the only way to get to the Father, and you cannot get to him unless you come through me." Jesus begins to talk to him. Question of salvation. It's why Jesus came to earth to seek and save that which is lost. It's why the cross is paramount in our preaching and in our lives. It's why we place a supreme value on the blood of Jesus. How many of you still believe in the power of the blood? It's why we celebrate the resurrection every day, not just a Sunday in the spring. And after this question, Jesus says unto him, "Why do you call me good? None is good save one, that is God." Jesus starts asking questions. Jesus, the answer, starts asking questions. Why is that profound? Because the answer is now asking questions. When the answer begins to ask questions, we need to pay attention, because God is about to drop revelation. Verse 20, "Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother." What he is saying is do not commit adultery, love over lust. Do not kill, love over hate. Do not steal, giving over taking. Do not bear false witness, truth over lies. Honor thy father and thy mother, honor over dishonor. And the young man said, "Oh, that's great. Every one of these I have done since I was young." The problem with that is being good without God is not enough. Being good without God is not enough. Bishop and I say this phrase quite frequently. I say it at all of our new members' classes, and it's always met with blank stares and confused looks. on people's faces, but there will be better people in hell in some cases that are in heaven, because good and better does not get you to heaven. A relationship with Jesus Christ gets you to heaven. And there will be imperfect people that go to heaven and are perfected in heaven because they walk this earth knowing and receiving Jesus Christ into their heart as Savior, following Him as Lord. Imperfect people are going to make it to heaven where they will be perfected. Good is not enough. God is all that is enough. Verse 22, Jesus heard these things and He said, I'm glad you've done all these things. I commend you for doing all and for keeping all of the commandments. But He said, there's one more thing you should do. And He lists four things. He said, you got to sell everything you have, talking to the rich man. Give it to the poor. You will store treasures in heaven. Come follow me. Four things. He said, sell, give, store, and follow. Somebody say, stay tuned. And when the young man heard it, he was sorrowful, for he was very rich. One translation says, he went away with his head hung low. Rich young ruler was sad because he had to give up everything. Stay tuned. God asks the same of every man and woman that comes to Him saying, what must I do to be saved? And whether you're a rich young ruler or a poor man that rules nothing, when God asks you to give everything, everything is everything. Whether you drive a Mercedes or you ride a bicycle, once you sacrifice it all, you're both walking. Whether you live in a mobile home out in the country, a single-wide trailer, or you have a mansion in the Dominion, you give that home away, you're both homeless. God doesn't ask anything of rich people that He doesn't ask of poor people, or vice versa. When God says, I want your life, He says, I want it all, and you've got to give me everything you have. And the rich young ruler shook his head saying, I don't understand. That's not something I think I can do. Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful. He said, hardly shall they that have riches enter the kingdom of God. Easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. He that heard it said, who can be saved? And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Whether he's talking about the eye of a sewing needle or the eye of the needle in the side of one of the walled cities where a camel literally had to crouch and crawl through, what he's saying is it's difficult for some people to come to Jesus, but it is not impossible. Can I encourage somebody today? I know you've been holding on to some things, but I'm here to tell you, life with Jesus is better than life without Jesus. Life sacrificing everything in His name is better than having everything in your name. Everything in your name is going to make your life maybe enjoyable for a few years here on this earth, but when you sacrifice and give it all to Jesus and say, I'm going to follow you all the days of my life, you get to follow Him right to a real place called heaven. And God is going to bring you into that reality once you say yes to Him. Pastor Becky, if you'll come. Then Peter, here he is again. Peter said, Lord, we've left all. We have followed you. What he's saying is we've made an investment in you. We've made an investment. I didn't have everything that the rich young ruler had, but Peter's saying, what I had, God, I gave you. I want to encourage you today, quit looking at what you don't have to give and start giving what you already have to give. Little in our hands becomes much in His. And this is what Jesus, how He would respond to Peter. Verse 29, He said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more. That means a multiple different things, blessings, manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. The rich young ruler left too early. Jesus was in the middle of a revelation. And when he said, sell everything you have, give to the poor, you're storing up treasures in heaven, come follow me. The young man left disappointed. But he left early. Because 2 minutes later, after he walked away, Jesus is still talking and he says, whatever you sacrifice in this world, he said, I'm going to make sure that you have the manifold blessing in this life and in the life to come. Stand on your feet, church. I have a lot of peers that are anti-prosperity gospel. See, is this a prosperity preaching church? We're prosperity preaching, healing preaching, delivering preaching, anointing preaching, hope preaching, faith preaching, redemption preaching, cross preaching. We preach it all. every one of my peers that has ever said, I just don't think you should preach prosperity. You know the number one thing I tell them? You need to move to another country. Because if you live in the U.S. with all of our problems, if you had a roof over your head and you have a penny in your pocket, you're better than 98% of the world in riches. So if you're anti-prosperity, not because of if this president's elected, I'm moving. No, you need to move today for no other reason than you're too prosperous. And then I take them to this verse. They have no reply because I said distinctly, Jesus said, you'll be blessed here, you'll be blessed there. The problem is most people preach it to the place where we begin to focus on things and not on Jesus. When Jesus said, if you seek first the kingdom of God and my righteousness, I'll add things to you, meaning this, when I follow Jesus, blessings follow me. When you follow Jesus, blessings follow you. When I turn around and I start following blessings, God follows me. You don't want God following you. But I turn around, shift my focus back to him. I say, I'm going to stay till you say the last word because it's going to change my life. I'm following you. I want to open this altar right now. I'm over time, out of time. I'm opening this altar right now for people in this room today.